Watching the evolution of Sahara Beck from up-and-coming Brisbane artist to full-blown alt-pop stardom has been a joy to behold, as it continues, with Sahara releasing her latest EP and her Kryptonite. Serving as bookends to the last couple of years, 2019's Queen of Hearts and this EP are actually part of a pair and will be released as a double EP and vinyl as well, showing two sides to Sahara's music, including a killer nostalgic cover. As Sahara prepares to perform in Sydney tonight, we catch up with her beforehand, right here on The Tuck Shop. G'day, Sahara.
Hey, how's it going?
So good. Thanks for joining us here. I know you're in Sydney right now, but you're in your hotel room. It sounds a bit echoey where you are.
Oh, yeah, I'm just in the, I'm in the bathroom.
Love it.
Good acoustics, you know.
Yeah, it is. You can probably practice your vocals and warm-ups and stuff in there.
Congrats
on the release of this EP, Sahara. It's a real statement that you've made here. I think a powerful link between all these tracks of empowerment, passion, and raw energy. And this has all been wrapped in sort of that veneer of alt pop that you're really growing as well at the moment. But it's anything but bubblegum. It's not bubblegum pop. It's alt pop, I like to call it. What can you tell us about the direction of this EP and that sound that you're sort of going for at the moment?
Oh, thank you so much. These are all songs that I recorded with Tony Buchan in LA. He's actually living in Sydney now, so I didn't have to make the trip. I went over to LA because he was living over there at the time, and we did like all of the last record with him as well, with Here We Go Again and Queen of Hearts. And we actually did all these songs over a couple of trips. And I just realized like it was like one side of the, we've put it on a vinyl, and that's how I kind of thought of the concept as well, that it's like one side is sort of like, you know, what you're going through and like the sort of like realizations of like, you know, like, does it have to be, does this relationship or whatever the situation is have to be like this? And then the other side is basically like, you know, everything's okay. Like, you know, it's just life. And like, you know, there's nothing wrong with how you're feeling, and like, you know, it's okay to just be human and stuff. And then I have the Teenage Dirtbag cover on there, which I did with my friend Jay Bovino, who's actually a really, really great writer, and he's in Shepherd as well. And he just lives up the road from me. So we were always just like, we're honestly always just messaging each other, being like, oh, I want to come over and put some vocals on this, or I want to do some writing. And one day he was like, we should do Teenage Dirtbag. And I actually really loved how it turned out. And we did this like great video to it in a bathtub. Smallest budget ever for a video, but probably like, you know, up there with my faves. And so like the whole second side is kind of just like, it's like coming to terms in like a really beautiful way with how things are, I guess.
And I sort of talked about being bookends, because it's funny how one was released before COVID, another one's released afterwards, but they sort of work really well together and serve as a sort of experience of, I guess, your life over the last few years.
Yeah. Well, I definitely did a lot of learning through all of these songs. Like, I think I was in different situations where I was sort of feeling stuff and I didn't realize I was feeling it, and I was sort of like confused about what I should do. And then it's funny, like once you write a song about it, you kind of go, oh, it's really clear now what I have to do, you know?
Oh, I like it. Like, music is a bit of a form of therapy as well. When you get it out on the paper and sing the song, it makes things a bit clearer.
Yeah, and I feel like, because we always listen to everyone else's opinions on things, but it's like, if you sort of, I don't know, it might sound like I'm being like into my own advice, but you know, like if like we do all have our own opinions that we probably should follow more. And I think like if it comes out in the form of a song and you don't realize that you actually like, you've processed it subconsciously in this song, then you should actually also listen to what you've realized through the song, I guess.
Sure.
You've spoken in interviews that you've done on this EP about the change in direction of the EPs and going into this project, really wanting control and intention in your music and really wanting to create the music you wanted to create. How did you come to that realization? Was that like a light bulb moment, or was that something that has just developed over the past few years in your work?
I think like what sort of happened was with all the other music I've written, like I never really thought about it. It just kind of came out and happened the way that it happened. And I really, you know, and I am still really proud of all of that work. But it was all music that I wouldn't actually personally listen to myself. And like, you know, I do love like acoustic stuff, like when it's done really nicely. And like, but that was all music that I wasn't really putting too much thought into. It was just happening. And then I kind of had this moment where, I don't know, I just kept getting compared to like certain artists that I thought were great, but I was like thinking like, why do I keep getting compared to that person? Or you know, like, why do people keep asking me if I like this sort of music or that sort of music? And then I kind of had a look at what I'm putting out, and I was like, oh, because that's what I'm doing. And then I kind of had this moment where I was like, oh, it'd be actually really cool to make music that I would love to have a boogie to, you know, like that I would hear and be like, oh, this is actually like a bit fun. And so I sort of like started looking at artists that I really am into, like Saint Vincent and Santa Gold and yeah, and a few others. And I just thought, like, you know, I can try. That's all I can do.
Yeah, you've done more than that. You've achieved.
No, thank you.
The decision to link the two EPs like they are now kind of linked, was that intentional from the start, or was that something that you put together after the fact or kind of through the process?
Yeah, I think like in the beginning we were sort of like thinking it was all going to come out together, and then I was sort of like, oh, I don't know. There was a lot of like back and forth of like what I sort of wanted to happen with it. And then I think, yeah, just like over the last like year or so, like I sort of realized, oh, they should all be to like these specific songs should be together. Like I don't know exactly what the moment was that I realized or anything, but I think they work well together.
Yeah, for sure. So. You mentioned Tony Bouchon before, and for me, I always think of him as a guy that pretty much brought Montaigne to the big stage, because he worked on Montaigne's original record and sort of developed her sound. How has his experience of what he's done before, what has he brought to your music making, and how's it working with him? I heard you're both quite stubborn.
Yeah, we're both pretty stubborn. Well, I was working with a few different producers at the time, just like purely to figure out, like, because I had figured out what I wanted the sound to be. And I just didn't know exactly I obviously didn't know how to do it myself because I'm not a producer. And then I found all these different producers that had worked with other artists that I liked. And then when I worked with Tony, it was just like, we just like totally clicked and everything made so much sense and we knew exactly what to do. And yeah, it just really worked. And I do really love like what he had added to Montaigne's production. And yeah, and there was other artists as well at the time. I was thinking like, oh yeah, that's a really good touch. And like, he's just got a really good like edge and intensity to his producing, which I really wanted in this record.
He's also worked with Smashing Pumpkins, I believe, and Troye Sivan. He's living overseas for a while. I think he had a few great names there as well. So, yeah, I reckon he's a really great producer, and I'm sure the two of you teamed up well, even if you did butt heads now and then.
But I think it's totally normal to butt heads, like, you know, and I'm not at all saying like, oh, like it wasn't a good time or anything. Like, it was a really great time. And I think when you're creating something, you obviously just have lots of moments where you spend all this time together and you go, no, I think this. And, you know, but in the end of the day, like you want what's best for the songs. And I think we were really passionate about that. And that's why we were both being so stubborn all the time. And I think if we weren't being stubborn, then the songs probably wouldn't have turned out as good.
Obviously, COVID's been a bit of a disruptive time for everybody. And, you know, sometimes it's positive, sometimes there's silver lining, sometimes there's not. How's the gardening going? I read that you did do that during COVID.
I love gardening so much. It's going good. We're going to Glastonbury on Monday and going to be in Europe for a couple of months. So I've gotten my partner I've written down what days he has to look after which plants.
Love it.
Hopefully they're still alive when I get back. COVID was obviously like a really bad time for a lot of people. But it really made me realize that I can't just put all of my I can't let all of my emotions depend on my music career, because it just was completely out of anyone's control at that time. And, you know, I can water a plant and it'll keep growing.
That's such a nice metaphor for everything, isn't it?
Yeah. COVID can't stop me growing plants.
No. We've spoken to a lot of artists that have said similar things over the last couple of years about how, yes, it was an appalling time for the music industry, but it also afforded them the time to stop and actually think and breathe for the first time in many, many years. Did it offer something similar to you?
Yeah, well, I found like, because everyone that I was living with at the time, like their jobs were not affected at all. Like they actually even got like, you know, raises, and like, you know, that like they actually got better positions in their careers. And then I was kind of just sitting at home with nothing to do, and I felt so just bad about myself. And then talking to other people in the music industry, and they were all saying like, oh yeah, I'm doing the same thing, like this, what are we supposed to do, you know? And then it was like, oh well, we can't get cafe jobs, because at the time it was like everyone was kind of making everything smaller, and it was just like, yeah, I think it was really difficult. What was the question again?
You answered it right.
Look, we got through it, and the plants are here, so that's okay.
Yeah, and we really have gotten through it. Like, it really feels like it's like just 2% left.
People are traveling overseas again. It's like so exciting. I'm seeing all my friends. I'm so jealous. They're all overseas. I'm like, oh my God. And you're going in a week or so? That's exciting.
We're going tomorrow. Yeah.
Oh my God, tomorrow. Wow. Flying out of Sydney?
Yeah, flying out of Sydney. I'm going to get up at 3 a.m., so that'll be fun. But it's going to be crazy. I've never been to Glastonbury Festival before.
Yeah, we'll talk about that soon. But first, we're going to play a track from the EP. This is one of my favorites from It's Nothing Wrong With That. Is a huge track from the EP. Can you tell us a little bit about this one and how it all came together?
This song, honestly, one of my closest friends was always complaining about, you know, how he wanted love and like, but it's not happening. And like everyone, I don't know, I just like, it's just not happening for me and I don't know why. And like, I don't know why, and all these like questions about like, what's wrong with me? And like, why, you know, there's never anything wrong with anyone. And I sort of got to the point where I thought like, you have to stop kind of feeling sorry for yourself, because when you find the right person, like you'll find the right person, and it's okay to like, be sad about it when it's not working out, but that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. It just means that you tried something and it didn't work. And that's actually what we all have to do all the time. And sometimes it's pretty sad, a sad feeling, but it's okay.
It is. Sage advice from Sahara Beck here on The Tuck Shop on 2SER. We're going to play Nothing Wrong With That from the EP, which is out right now, and her Kryptonite. And we'll keep chatting to Sahara in just a second.
That right there was Nothing Wrong With That by Sahara Beck from her brand new EP and her Kryptonite. And we're so lucky to have Sahara on the show with us. How are you doing, Sahara?
I'm good, thank you.
You mentioned before when we were chatting about the cover of Wheatus's Teenage Dirtbag, an iconic song from the early 2000s. You know, they also tweeted at you, didn't they? They said, this is how you do it. What a fantastic bit of support from the band themselves.
Oh my God, that was actually crazy. Because I think we just put it up because we put it up like a couple of years ago, just being like, we'll just put it out. People can just listen to it. Like, it's not a big deal. And then, we just tweeted being like, does she have a Twitter? Like, who is this kind of thing? And like, this is how you do it. And I was like, what? Oh my God, I'm here. It's me.
So good.
But yeah, then we had to get obviously like approval to like release it and stuff. And that all worked, so it makes me feel like this, you know, there was that whole like a couple of degrees of separation between us all or something. I don't know. The internet is great.
Onto a slightly different tack now. You've started to work with a circus troupe, Briefs Factory, for a project called Bite Club, which is really, really cool. How did that all start? How did that all come together?
Well, I was playing at Woodford, I think a few years ago, Woodford Folk Festival, and they had a late slot and I had a really early slot every day. I was playing at like 11 in the morning or something, at like the grand stage, which was like really cool. I was like, oh my God, I've never played here before. And I actually saw their show and I thought, oh my God, like they're so amazing. They're so impressive what Briefs do. It's just so impressive. And I honestly just thought, that's a great show. I didn't even dream of the idea of meeting them or anything, because it's like, oh, I'll leave them alone. Like, they don't want to talk to me, like, you know? And apparently they, like, I found out afterwards that they had been like coming in the mornings to watch my show. No, I didn't realize that. And then I got an Instagram message saying, hey, like, we really like your music. And I was wondering if I could have your number, we could like try and, because I wanted to talk to you about like potentially doing something together. And I was like, what? And I was at my mum's house and I was like, mom, Briefs messaged me. And yeah, and then I gave him a time to like, it would be good to talk and stuff. And he called me up and he's like, we'd really love to create a show from scratch using your music, and we can come up with the ideas for each act together. And basically we can do whatever we want. Like, we just got to think of it, you know? And I was like, yes, 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 yes. Count me in. And yeah, we made this show, and the day that we did the promo photos for it was the first day that we actually met in person.
Oh, wow.
So I remember I was turning up and there's all these like beautiful men and just like so confident. They're all so confident and like so funny and everything. And I'm just thinking like, all right, cool. You got to stand your ground and be like, you're cool too. Don't worry about it, Sarah. And like, I was so intimidated. And they're all wearing like their G-strings and stuff for the photo. And I'm like, yeah, I am not going to do that, but I love that you guys do that. And like, we still hadn't really thought of like we hadn't completely finished the show yet at that point, but but we all got along really well. Then we finished the show. We sold out a couple of weeks or something at the Tivoli Theatre in Brisbane. And then we sold out another season of it in Brisbane again. And then we took it to Perth at the beginning of this year. We were supposed to do it last year, but we couldn't. Now we're taking it overseas for a couple of months. So That's
massive.
Actually insane.
So exciting. I saw the promo picture. Is that where you're wearing the red and you've got the headdress on and whatever? Is that the one from the...
Yeah. Well, that whole white outfit is actually really amazing. It's this woman in Brisbane called Lani Creative, and she makes wearable art out of like recycled materials. So that whole white dress, it looks like it's made out of feathers, but they're actually takeaway containers that have been cut into the shape of feathers and all like pinned on. It's amazing. So people go to hug me and they're like, ow. Like, don't touch me.
Not that practical, but it looks great.
Yeah, exactly. I have to keep my arms up after.
So as you said, you're heading over to the UK like tomorrow. That is mind-blowing. And you're playing at the legendary Glastonbury. It's like a festival. It's on my bucket list. One day I'll get there. It just looks like an amazing festival. And mud seems to be part of it. But I think it's nice and warm over there right now. So yeah, hopefully it'll be nice and dry. But that must be a dream come true to go over and play that festival. What are you exciting to do there and see, and what's your stage show going to look like?
Oh, I'm so excited. I really want to see St. Vincent play while we're over there. If I walk past her, I'm going to definitely be like, hi, I'm so sorry. I love you so much. would love to see Paul McCartney, like Diana Ross. There's so many people that are great that are going to be playing there, obviously. And I have no idea what to expect. I've never been there before. I've always just heard about it, always dreamt about doing it. But like, even when we got told that, you know, we had the offer to do it with this show, I was like, what do you mean? Is there a mistake? What? But yeah, honestly, I have no idea what to expect, but I'm just going to be there and I'm keen as.
Yeah, and you're rounding up the circus big top tent. I think it's like on a Thursday and Friday night, like late. They're like 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock shows. But
midnight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be super fun. Right at the end of the night, everyone's loose and just, you know, relaxed, and this should be amazing.
Yeah. So then they'll all hopefully think it's great. But I was saying as well, that'll work really well with the jet lag.
Yeah, hopefully.
It'll be really cool. Like, apparently that's like the big circus tent. So
yeah,
really keen. Like, I've seen some photos of the stage, and I've just been really loving doing the show on those like round stages where all the seats are kind of like in an amphitheater around the stage. And I don't know, it's just so entertaining. And like, honestly, like even from where I'm standing, because I'm on stage the whole time, but like everyone in front of me is doing something so amazing.
Yeah.
Like, so it's one of those shows as well where I'm standing there thinking like, I don't have to be nervous about dancing or anything. Everyone's looking at the half naked man doing the splits over there.
Like, did you learn the splits? Yeah. You know, did you learn some circus tricks?
I actually learned how to flip a hat onto my head, which doesn't sound very impressive. But you can just imagine that it is.
I reckon it sounds good. I couldn't do it. Look, I'd just be falling.
I couldn't do it. No.
It's crazy. Oh, my God. Half of the stuff that they do, we're just standing there being like, yeah, whatever. Like, how do you even, like, it doesn't make any sense. They're, like, doing all these, like, flips in the air. Like, I don't even want to get into it. It's insane. They're amazing.
Well, I hope you get to see some other great acts. Diana Ross is playing at Glastonbury. It's amazing.
I know.
And Herbie Hancock, like just legends playing at this huge festival. So hopefully you get around to some other tents and get the chance to see everybody.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, we've got to finish off with playing one of my favorite tracks from the EP, Stillness, which is a very personal track. Can you talk us through the meaning and creation of this gorgeous one?
I've like always suffered from like really bad like panicking and like panic my God, no, I can't think of the word. Like just having a panic attack all the time. And yeah, so I've just got like a lot of anxiety, and I kind of was talking to my friend Alex about it, and like because I was going through like a couple of years there was just like really bad and really disabling. Like I had to just cancel stuff all the time, and I just felt like felt so bad about it, because I was like, there's nothing I can do and I don't know why it's happening and all that stuff, you know, when you've never gone through it before, you're like, what is this? Like I didn't even realize this was a real thing. And and I was kind of explaining to him how it like the feeling of when it takes over and all this stuff, and then some stuff that I'd been learning from like a psychologist, like to kind of make myself more present and to stop it from getting worse, like to be able to recognize when it's starting. And we were sort of like comparing it to like being in traffic when there's like all of these different, like there's all these cars around you and there's cars for miles, and like you can't see yourself ever getting out of this traffic, and you have to be somewhere, you know, and you're like, oh my God, I'm never going to get out of this. Like, oh, and everyone's beeping and stuff. But then it's like turning all of that noise into like, because there's so much noise, like seeing it instead as like quietness and stillness, you know, and finding mm-hmm. stillness within all of the noise, and kind of going, okay, this is what's happening. Nothing kind of lasts forever. I'll get out of it. But like right now I just have to be here in the moment. It's just for a moment. And like, and then going like, you know, and you know what? Even if I could, I actually don't want to leave this moment, because this is a moment that I get to be in, kind of thing. But yeah, and then we just wrote the song around that sort of concept. And, you know, part of it as well that I like in that song is when it says, there's an accident ahead. Is it my fault? If I try to fix it now, would I be wrong? I've just got to let it go. Because that's just something that I'm doing all the time, like thinking, oh, something bad's going to happen. Like, oh, that's going to happen. And like, it's going to happen because I didn't stop it from happening, when it's like, things are just going to happen how they happen. Like you can't, you know, you have no idea what's going to happen until it happens.
Yeah. Well, there's some amazing.
There's this really.
Sorry, go, Jules.
Oh, no, I was just saying, you know, you talk about that idea of stillness within chaos, and there's this really interesting juxtaposition on the track between the really heavy, hectic guitars, but then your really kind of soft, close-mic'd vocals, which are kind of this moment, that's kind of the beacon in the middle of the song. And was that, it sounds completely intentional that it's like method reflecting the meaning, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, like, because we didn't have the really heavy guitars there at first, but then I was thinking, like, we need something that's totally, because I was singing it a bit stronger at first, and then I thought, like, oh, we need, like, yeah, exactly what you're saying, like, the contrast of, like, something really hectic, but then, like, something really pretty that kind of, like, cuts through the middle, so it's, like, even though this is happening, like, here you are right here, you're just this, like, you're this soft thing in the middle, and like it's you know, even though all of the grittiness is happening around you, like you can still find the softness.
It's a beautiful song and a really great and life-affirming EP. Everyone should go and check it out, and it's out right now from Sahara Beck and her Kryptonite. Now, you are playing probably right now as we're playing this on 2SER at Solstice Sounds at the Factory Theatre in Sydney. It might be people there right now and they can listen to us later. That's great too. But you've teamed up with a really great lineup there with Carla Lippis, This Way North, and Cleo Renner. So hopefully that's a great night out there in Sydney. And then good luck with the trip overseas. That sounds absolutely amazing. Have a really great time.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me. I hope you have a great night.
You too. Thanks, Sahara Beck. This is Stillness.
See you.
Bye.